Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank our engineer, Jeff Bilodeau, our music by Derek Audette, our interns, Sarah, Andrew, Leah, Deidre, and Chrissy. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan, and we are so happy we have our interns in studio today, because yesterday was so tough without everybody. It's amazing. Thank you guys for everything you do. We really appreciate it very much. I like it when we have an audience, too. It makes me feel like we're doing something important, because I have to imagine everybody out there listening. Now there's actually people here listening.
Oh, yeah. We love the energy.
It's fun. Mark Schmidt is with us. Schmitty is his name. He has a company that's doing some very cool things, Art Function Group of Companies. Schmitty, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad you could be with us today.
Appreciate it.
You have quite the history in the business world and the people you know. I want to get to the Carabiners in just a second. The Click Carabiner, that's a cool thing. We'll tell everybody about it. But just a little bit about your history and background. Did you start off in the skateboarding industry building decks? Is that where it was?
Actually, before that, I was a professional skateboarder when I was a young man. And it's very difficult to transition from being a professional athlete to getting into the civilian workforce. Parents tried to send me through Coleman College and get me into technology, and I wasn't having anything about that. So I started fixing surfboards and wound up with a job at a surf shop, which pulled me into skateboard retail, which pulled me into skateboard wholesale, which pulled me into product creation, and then building companies within the action sports
just
space.
Just a quick. Do you still get on a board once in
a while? Oh, absolutely.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Daily.
San Diego's kind of a mecca for skateboarding, right? A lot of people don't know, but this is kind of ground zero for the skateboarding counterculture.
Absolutely. Just don't ask me to do a kickflip down a 10 stair.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I like the rail thing. I like to watch, because there's that whole thing, you go on YouTube and there's all the wipeouts, you know, the rail fails. Wow, they look painful.
Painful beyond measure. There's actually a significant portion of skateboarders doing that probably won't be able to procreate. So it's Darwinism taking place.
I thought it's all about how you
in
fall,
real time.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I've broken a lot of things on my body, but not that so far.
Well, and most of the time we're protecting those.
Yeah.
When you got a millionth of a second to either make or break a rail trick, a lot of times you're not. Yeah. Your calculus is wrong.
I've done all the tricks I've seen, just not once have I ever done it on purpose. Yeah.
Very nice.
And back in the day, did you start skating? I don't think you're old enough to. We used to take skates, like roller skates with the metal wheels.
Sure.
Break them apart and screw them on the bottom of a plank.
So I was born in 63, so that's still clay wheel era, so I was absolutely in that. But the magic came in the 70s when all of a sudden you had the urethane wheels and the precision bearings.
Yeah.
And you were riding on a cloud, and when you're a kid and all of a sudden you move from, you know, the crappy big wheel to your really nice Schwinn with a stick shift,
that was the equivalent in the skateboard world. Yeah, and we have famous skater, Tony Hawk being one of the most famous here in San Diego. He still lives here, right?
Oh, yeah. North County guy. We actually work really closely with his foundation. He's closing in on 50 years old, and for him to be able to do what he does at 50, all I can do is bow to what he does and his mission, and he's an amazing guy.
Wow. So you have fast-forwarded through a bunch of experiences that you've had in the business world, a lot of it regarding athletics and sporting-type things. Now you're at the helm of a company that makes carabiners, but a really different way to look at how a carabiner does. And for those that are listening that don't know what it is, it's the thing that rock climbers clip onto the rope to keep them from falling off if they lose their balance.
Foundational tool of rock climbing.
It
absolutely
is. And what are the spikes called that you nail into the rock?
There's crampons.
That's crampons. That's it.
So you got spikes on your things that you can put on your feet. I forget what they're called, but anyway.
The crampons. That's the name I was looking for.
Yeah, the crampons go on your feet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So tell us a little about the Click Carabiner and what you're doing here.
So one of my big projects in in my previous skateboard company, at a manufacturing and distribution company, was the T-Tool. And it became the tool of the skateboard market. So there was, back in the days you're talking about, the clay wheel days, there was a skate key. So I created...
There's a song about the skate key, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Skater Dater, yeah. whatever it was. But anyway, on the T-Tool, we were one of the first companies that did a designed in California, made in China move. So we had a huge cost advantage. We had a patented product, and we sold millions of these T-Tools.
Seriously?
I left that company in 2006, and I thought, okay, what am I going to do now? I'm no longer the guy with a T-Tool. So I thought, let's take the tool set and put it on an everyday wearable, an EDC project, everyday carry, and the carabiner form.
Wait, EDC is a thing?
Well, EDC is an acronym for everyday carry.
And right, is that a thing, or did you just make that
up? Oh, no, that's I'd love to say
so
I made that.
That's an actual thing, everyday
EDC
carry.
EDC is an actual thing, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
So getting, taking the tool set that you needed that originally wasn't really in your pocket, it was more in a backpack, and then putting it in a place where it was not just a keychain, but something that could secure your keychain to your pants. Oh, and by the way, let's say you're at the skate park, your carabiner tool could hold your backpack up on the fence so you can see it no matter where you are, so your stuff's not getting stolen. That became, there were enough aha moments in the development of a new tool in that market to where we thought, all right, this is going to be a really cool thing. And the really fun thing over the last couple of years is taking our knowledge of these little niche markets that we've been playing in and then applying them to broad consumer spaces.
So the Click carabiner, the one that we're looking at here, can you describe this tool? Because you have, it's a carabiner, but it's not the typical shiny metal that you would think about, right? This particular one that we're looking at?
So all these can be seen at clickcarabiners.com.
There we go. So clickcarabiner.com.
Yep. So anyway, this is a ski tool, or it's a ski carabiner. So basically, to keep skis tuned, your DIN settings tuned, you need
a
number 3.
You're talking about snow skis, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And is this not metal because it would, because you're out in the cold?
Well, because your tongue would stick to it, obviously.
There we go. Yes, because you put them in your mouth a lot, right?
Right. So it being plastic is absolutely one of the reasons we kept it that way. But actually, the main reason was cost. So we were originally machining these out of billet aluminum. They were beautiful. They looked like jewelry, but they were $99 each at retail, which works for a percentage of the ski market, but we wanted to be a little bit more broad-based. So now we have an injection molded part. It's a co-mold injection. So there's a softer rubber on the outside, a harder plastic on the inside, a stainless steel cage inside here that actually holds the tools. And the thing that's really neat is that the tools rotate out. So you can have a gloved hand while you're on the ski mountain, whether you're snowboarding or skiing, a gloved hand roll over the tools, give you access to that.
That's so cool.
And then all of a sudden you're adjusting your equipment and you're on your way. And now back to one of the secrets we discovered about the carabiner. So this is something that you're wearing on your outside. So in other words, on belt loop or a loop hanging off your jacket.
Schmitty, let me ask you to hold that. Okay. We'll get back to that in just a second. Wow, this is a cool idea. I love this kind of stuff. Taking a normal everyday tool and turning it into something way better. Wow, you're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Canada.
Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We're broadcasting from the ESET studios, ESET Internet Security. Do more. Get a podcast of today's show and any of our previous shows. Now we're talking. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Canada.
And I'm Bob Ryan. And don't forget, we need good ratings. We've just been in this time slot for a little bit here. And the way to help us out with that is go to ESPN1700.com and listen to one of the, well, listen
Download.
To this podcast.
Absolutely.
Because you got to do it within 24 hours. And you got to leave it on for at least 5 minutes for Nielsen gets the click that
but
we've got another brownie point.
But you won't be able to turn it off after 5 minutes. We're just that entertaining.
That's a great
just
point.
Just saying.
That's
it's true.
Really good.
It's true.
And speaking of entertaining, who would have thought you could spend hours talking about carabiners? But we have a guy in studio with us, Mark Schmidt. Schmidt is his name, that actually has taken taken carabiners to a level that we couldn't even imagine a few years ago. Who knew? I want to get back to the way the manufacturing of this and what you've built into the different carabiners, because we've got one here for skiing. We've got some, I'm guessing this one over here is for everyday use. I want to get back to these.
It's actually a skateboard one.
This is a skateboard one. Okay. I didn't ask you specifically where the idea came up for this. Did you tell us that already? Because I don't remember you saying where the idea, where's the genesis of the idea?
So the genesis of the idea is I'm working with six engineers, my engineering staff, and I'm thinking, all right, I really need to do another big selling skateboard tool. Something that pays, you know, the mortgage, keeps the kids in school, a whole show. And I thought, what we need in skateboarding is we need one of those butterfly ninja knives with all the tools on it. And all my engineering guys looked at me in horror as they thought about them being tied to a patent that ultimately led to a skateboarder's death, because instead of using the tools, they stabbed somebody. And they said, can we think of something else? And that the genesis was they thought of the carabiner form, or we all collectively thought of the carabiner form, and that became the platform where, okay, not only can we lighten the weight from the T-tool to a carabiner form, it can have all these additional benefits of being a keychain, of holding your backpack, of being holding your keys, all these different things that were valuable and that made it so. Here again, this was like one of these little moments where, hey, you're wearing that thing all the time. It's kind of like a 24/7, 365 marketing event for my business, and I like that.
And I bet it could be used as a style piece too. I mean, people are going to be wearing these around. It's such a hipster, right?
It's 100%.
So it's not just for skateboarders. You could put anything in these things as long as people are going to use them.
Okay,
on the
Okay, so let's piggyback on that. How many colors do they come in? Because I want it to match my jacket.
No. Well, so all the color stuff, the fashion stuff, so that's already built in. So part of our secret sauce as a business is we want people that see it to love it and want it before they even know what it does. And so if skateboarder sees this, they start thinking about, oh, there's the file for my grip tape. Oh, there's my axle covered. All right, this one's going to tighten up the kingpin. All right, I'm good. They're already, their wallet, you can hear the Velcro on their wallet tear open.
Because they're ready to buy it.
Exactly.
And speaking of that, before we get back to the development of this, where can people buy these now?
On clickcarabiners.com. Obviously, my website. They're available at Zoomies or select Zoomies locations. And then a bunch of skate shops around town. And most skate shops in areas, were probably in over 1,000 skate shops worldwide.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Back to the idea, one more question about that. Was this a light that came on and just blew you away, or did the idea develop over time?
I'm always curious
about how that works.
So this was, I was veering down a place where I was going one way and my engineering crew really pulled me the other way. And then we started thinking about the value of the carabiner and how underutilized the concept of just a carabiner is. And then it was, all right, let's put a tool set together on that. And then after I did the skateboard one, I thought, there's a company here, because this is a platform. So now we literally reverse engineer carabiner forms into niche markets. So we've got the K9 abiner coming out for pet owners that does some really, really unique things. We've got the charger biner that is essentially a cable management play. When you think about, I'm going on vacation, I got to get my charging cube and my cable, and where's that going to go? It's going to go in a bag, which is going to go in a bag, which is going to go in a bag. And by the time you've got three bags, you're wondering if you actually where you put it. And so the fact that we can put that on a carabiner and all of a sudden it's part of your keychain or backpack is going to be really, really valuable. That instant visual affirmation that, hey, I got my charger on me, and the most valuable thing in my life is my smartphone.
So you have two different models here, one for skiing, one for skateboarders. Then you said you're coming out with another model for...
So we've got a snowboarding one as well. All three of those SKUs are on the market. So we've got a charging carabiner coming out within the next few months, and we'll do a Kickstarter campaign for that. We've got a bike carabiner coming out, which is going to be really exciting. Just based on market size, and it's a really cool piece. It weighs 39 grams.
All over the place you see people on bikes nowadays riding.
Yeah, big resurgence in, you know, and think about the hipster Portland cool thing, and all of a sudden, I mean, I'm imagining everybody with keys having something to hold their keys onto their belt loop or backpack, and it's going to be one of my carabiners.
There's an infinite number of niches here.
Yeah,
I mean, anything you can think of, if you're the type of person that does X, if you're an electrical engineer and you need a tool to strip, you know, the whatever,
the wire,
off the wiring.
Sure, sure.
You know, you can go in a million different directions.
Yep.
I'm just starting to get why this makes so much sense.
Yeah. So the marketplace for this here in just in the United States alone, I'm guessing, is huge for the different models you have. Have you developed any markets in other places yet?
Oh, yeah. So one of our big markets is in Japan. We also do really well in Europe. Anywhere there's so obviously we're in some niche markets right now, which are skateboarding, skiing, and snowboarding. So wherever there's concrete and snow, we're playing, and some disposable income and some ski resorts, we're playing in those fields and selling lots of products.
Now, if you make one for cowboys, then you can go out to the plains like Wyoming and Montana.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Cowboys have to have one of these. I'm not quite sure what you put on a cowboy one, but Montana, you would love that.
I'm available for consulting.
All right. Have all these ideas come from you guys, or do you guys look out at the world? Do people make suggestions, and then you say, yeah, we'll do that?
So I'm a big fashion junkie and a big... A sport junkie. I mean, I love being my own test subject, traveling lots of places, getting lots of experiences, and figuring out where can I solve a problem. So one of our biggest markets happens to be in Japan, and surprisingly, a big percentage of that market is more aspirational than it is using the product. So we'll sell tens of thousands of our ski carabiner over there, but based on the amount of warranty we get back or based on the interaction, probably about half of those are just going on folks on Tokyo that want to look like they ski, so they've got one of these on their backpack. Or want to look like they snowboard.
This is a society that has golfing ranges and people buy $2,000 sets of golf clubs just to go golf off of a range.
Standing on that 2-square-foot piece of grass in the middle of Tokyo.
Yes.
No chance for a swing, but that's their experience.
We call those posers.
hey, it's all right.
Yeah, but they're spending a lot of money for things that we develop,
consuming
too.
Posers.
Yes.
You're listening to Biz Talk. Mark Schmidt is with us. Art Function Group of Companies. The carabiner is the cool tool to have nowadays. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. Tomorrow, our in-studio guests are Blaise Barillet, CEO of CureMatch, Bill Gooding, and Kimberly Nguyen, co-founders of DreamVest Capital. Don't you dare miss the show. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. I just love doing this. This is like the funnest part of my day. And we get to talk to some very, very cool people. Mark Schmidt is in with us. His company manufactures the carabiner skate tool and the click carabiner, which is the... Is that the click carabiner is the one... That's the name of the company, but it... That's on your skiing carabiner.
Oh, so they're all called Click Carabiners.
Oh, they're all called that.
That's actually the brand.
That's the brand. And then you have models under the brand then.
Correct.
So this would be a skateboarder model. This would be a ski model.
Correct.
And you've got so many models that are, I'm guessing, on the drawing board. This is such a simple concept. When people look at it, you go, why hasn't somebody done this before now?
It really, absolutely true.
It's one of those kinds of things, right? The barrier to entry on this, though, I'm assuming is not that simple because of the manufacturing and the design behind these things. These have to be engineered fairly well.
Oh, without a doubt. There's a big engineering process, big testing process, big customer intimacy process where, you know, what can we do for the skier, the skateboarder, or the cell phone holder, or the pet owner that is something extraordinary and beyond what a normal company in that space will make.
Now, do these come with a warranty?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Lifetime warranty.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
When you make a prototype, do you obviously you go around, if it's a skateboard thing, you'll skateboard around with it and make sure it works the way that you think it should and want to. Do you also hand out like dozens of them or a couple to some of your friends in the industry and say, hey, tell me really what's going on? Have you got any really good feedback from some of your friends or other people that you've given prototypes out that are identifiable changes you've made to these?
Well, so just to take take a step back. So when we did a Kickstarter for the ski and the snowboard carabiners, we made sure we had 100 of these in the hands of influencers so they could post on Reddit and essentially fuel our Kickstarter. Because so Kickstarter for us is really a pre-sale. So in other words, you need to do the pre-sale, or it's a pre-sale, and you need to do seed all the marketing so that people are talking about you. All Kickstarter or Indiegogo do is they provide you a platform. You got to bring the audience. Mm-hmm. And that's the big aha. So you not only have to bring the audience in, you got to make them want to buy, and then a step further, make them want to share. So in other words, they're our superheroes, where if they absolutely love a project and they pass it along, their reward is, hey, I'm turning you on to something that's really cool and that's a great deal. So if you're not checking those boxes, you're not playing in that, or you're not running a successful campaign.
You said when you started out, the price point on these would have been in the $99 range, or was that the cost to manufacture? Originally.
So when you start out on a project, you're going to do a one-off sample.
Right.
That's going to be very expensive to make, and then you're going to start filtering it down to, okay, what do we really need? What do the performance parameters need to be? How do we filter down that whole thing so we get maximum efficiency with minimum cost? So we went to the mold injection and dye stamping on the skateboard skateboard specific version, and these things are we have to make it so that it's not super simple to copy, but that it's still a price where somebody looks at it and goes, oh, no problem, I'm dropping $25 on that. And so that's the retail price of our snowboard carabiners. Sure.
That's well within the range of most people.
And skateboard carabiner is $12.99. That's two lunches at school. Kid's going to not buy lunches for 2 days so they can have our skate carabiner.
And it's fashionable.
Yeah, exactly.
So the pocket protectors are gone. The waist holder for your phone is gone.
Hip bags are coming back, though.
Are they really?
Big comeback.
I can bring them out of hiding now.
Is that like a fanny pack?
Fanny pack.
Yeah, it doesn't mean they look good. I still am getting used to high waisted pants. It's a tough time for me.
So the process right now in your world is to keep marketing the models that you have out right now and develop new ones to have a suite of products.
Correct. Family of products, all based on the carabiner form. Nice IP portfolio around all those different products. And anybody that associates the name Click Carabiner, they're thinking, oh, that's... So our little tagline is stay tuned, because what we really do is allow people to keep doing what they were doing, whether that's on the hill snowboarding, whether that was skateboarding, whether that was they need to charge their phone, whether that was taking their pet out for a walk, whatever it is, that was with our K9 abiner.
K9 abiner.
Yeah, that's our pet carabiner that's coming out.
I love the name.
Love that. Yeah, well, that's part of the fun too, is to come up with a goofy name the K9 abiner.
For our listeners out there who might have an idea, do you, speaking of intellectual property, do you make something first and then go and patent it, or is it possible that you just have an idea, you write it down on paper, and when did you go out and actually say this is something that we need to get in and patent?
So I always like making sure dollars are flowing in for product before dollars are flowing out for legal. So I have to have an order for something before I'll patent it. And not difficult for me to do because I'm pretty reasonably well connected, but I'll never guard my idea. I'd rather put my idea out to the universe, see what comes back, and then if it's hyper positive, followed by purchase orders, that'll be my, okay, that's filter strong there. Let's get this patented.
What industry would you, so you've got one for skateboarders, one for skiers, so you're in two separate industries. I'm assuming there's not a carabiner industry with carabiner conventions and all by itself, right?
So no, we would be playing in a bunch of different, I mean, so with our charging carabiner, we're going to be playing in the consumer electronics space.
Right. So you might see them at Fry's, you might see them at a sporting goods store,
yep,
at a skateboarding store, and online, obviously.
Yep. I have a feeling that's going to be your biggest seller. Just for whatever reason. The charging one.
Oh,
that people
yeah.
travel all the time, and you're always looking for your charger. You're digging through your carry-on bag. You might have forgot it. I mean, it's just a huge problem. Everybody has a phone they need to charge.
Yeah, well, and then there's, you know, so there's, I think, 5 billion smartphones out there. And so we'll have our lightning plug version as well as our micro USB version for all the Android phones. And it's and when you see it, it looks really cool. So it's a conversation starter. Again, this is really where utility is meeting fashion, meeting function.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So where do you go with the company when competition starts on? Because this is such a great idea, right? There's got to be other companies that look at this and say, we can do the same thing. Are you preparing for that? Or how do you think about that when you're developing something new to go to market?
It's really hard to make cool stuff.
Yeah.
And especially like
so just, you're saying the barrier to entry on this is a lot higher than one might think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when there's some IP wrapped around it. I'm not afraid to call my attorney and say, hey, sue this guy. He's infringing on our patent. And we've got a lot of design patents that are fortified with utility patents. And again, that's a subject matter that we can go super granular on, but that's boring stuff. Just come up with a cool idea, put it on a napkin, sell it to somebody, collect your dough, and be in business.
So how many different patents does one get on these things? I mean, is it, you don't patent just the single item itself, you patent parts of it, right?
Both. So you do a design patent on your completed item, and if you can get a utility patent for whatever part of the carabiner. I'd love to have a patent on the carabiner itself, but that expired about 75 years ago or whenever Von Schenard or whoever crew came out with the original product.
Schmitty, Mark Schmidt, Art Function Group of Companies, the Click Carabiner. The website is?
Clickcarabiners.com.
Clickcarabiners.com. Check them out. You can order them now, right?
You can.
Yay.
Shipping same day.
Thank
order
you so-
before 3. I'll get out of your hair right now. Make sure that stuff gets shipped.
Thank you so much, Mark Schmidt. You've
Thank
been listening
you.
To Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Schmidt.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Have a great and prosperous day. Bye-bye.